Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. And I'd like to welcome back to the show NFL draft expert Joe DeLeon, who hosts the NFL Draft Prospects podcast with Ryan Roberts. And it's great to have you back, Joe. And thanks for being kind enough to give us a little of your time.
Of course. Yeah, I was just saying to you that this is a little bit of a calmer week than last week, but it's still fun to talk about these prospects. Now that we know where they're going, there's a lot less complications with trying to guess these guys. It's a lot less projection. We can actually talk about how these players will fit on these rosters and some of the expectations we could have for them early on in their careers.
Yeah, I'm so confident. I've got the Super Bowl Texans banner in front of the stadium behind me in that photo. That's from many years ago, but not that confident, really. But when we did this a couple of months ago, Joe, you thought the Texans had to draft Thibodeau if he was available. You were very high on Kyle Hamilton. They actually had two chances at Kyle. They had a chance at Thibodeau, didn't do it. What did you think about Derek Stingley?
Yeah, no, I don't think that this was a bad pick. I was legitimately not shocked, but not expecting him to be the first corner off the board. Based on what we got from him this past season, where he played a limited number of games, it ended short because of an injury, the inconsistent play where he had that amazing 2019 year, and then a bit of trouble staying on the field, and then also not playing at that same level as his first season for the remaining parts of his career at LSU. I was expecting that teams, based on how they usually react to stuff like that, that they might hold off on a guy like Derek Stingley. I thought that if anyone was going to tumble, it was going to be Derek Stingley and not Andrew Booth Jr. But here we are. We have Stingley slotting at three, and I think that he fits perfectly with this Texans defense. He is a very, very athletic corner. He's got great length. And I think if you can tap into what he did early on in his career, which is still there, it's not like he suffered some crazy injury like Justin Ross did that is going to prevent him from getting back to where he was. It was just a foot injury. He was dealing with a foot injury, and he was dealing with coaching issues and a transition away from Ed Orgeron, a lot of different circumstances that he couldn't really control. So all that stuff, you know, putting that behind him, I think that we can tap into his full potential and see what the Texans can get out of him.
Did you have a preference between him and Sauce?
I like Derek Stingley better than I like Sauce Gardner, but I just thought because Sauce Gardner had less question marks about him, he was going to be that first corner taken just because of the circumstances, because there weren't any question marks about Sauce Gardner. We knew that he was available. He was fully healthy. He was dominant last year, albeit against lesser competition. But I think it's like a 1A, 1B situation. If you think that you can get what you got, or what Derek Stingley did early on in his career, if you think you can get that out of him, it's going to be a great pick.
I'd like to go through the first few picks and just get your quick reaction from each before we get your big picture thoughts on the Texans draft. And Kenyon Green, they decide to trade down. They grab Kenyon Green with that pick a couple picks lower than they had. What did you think of him?
Yeah, I'm actually a huge fan of Kenyon Green, and there was some possibility that he was going to slide. There was potential of him having some medical issues in his medical rechecks, but he ended up being completely fine, apparently, for him to get selected 15th overall. I was really high on him at the beginning of the cycle. I was even high on him during last cycle when I was watching some Alabama tape, and he caught my attention. I was like, who is this interior offensive lineman? Because he is mauling people. He's got that positional versatility. He can play tackle if they want to ask him to. He's probably better off playing guard, but he has the experience playing tackle this past year for Texas A&M. What you're going to get out of him is a very aggressive, very strong run-blocking interior offensive lineman. And I also really did feel that the Texans needed to address offensive line at some point early on in this draft. And to get the best available interior offensive lineman in Kenyon Green, I think, is a total slam dunk for this team.
Yeah, I pointed out to our Twitter followers that the last two times a Houston NFL team picked a guard was almost 40 years ago. And back to back, the Oilers picked a couple of guys named Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews. It went pretty well with those two guys, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, those guys are okay.
Kyle Hamilton was the number one safety on your board, most boards. Jalen Petrie was who they chose in the second round. Is there a huge difference between those two guys? And did you like that pick?
Yeah, I think it goes without saying that there is a huge difference. I firmly thought that Kyle Hamilton was not only the best safety in this class, but he was the best prospect in this class. Just a unique physical build at 6'4", 225. Him landing in Baltimore, by the way, is completely scary, but that's a complete separate issue to see what he's going to become with the Baltimore Ravens. Petrie, though, is great, and I think he was selected at a good spot that made a lot of sense for him, being selected at that fifth pick in the second round. I think that they picked him before Jaquan Brisker, if I remember off the top of my head. But I think with what they're looking for in a safety, he makes a lot of sense, especially with Dax Hill and Lewis Cine already being selected ahead of him. Petrie was somebody who was rising throughout the cycle at the Combine and the Senior Bowl. So I think this is a really strong pick. And it's kind of funny that we saw a lot of these selections that the Texans decided to go with guys that played at relatively local schools or schools that are in Texas. And that's always going to be a nice culture fit for a guy like that.
Next, they picked John Metchie. And this is, it feels like a very Nick Caserio move because he was with the Patriots for all those years with Belichick, and they put a lot of emphasis on the slot receiver.
Yeah, I know. I'm so shocked that their next two picks were Alabama players. And of course, I did all of these radio hits leading up to it, and a lot of Raiders ones coincidentally, and they were asking me about their new GM and like what to expect, what kind of guys are going to draft. I should have been saying that they're just going to draft a bunch of Alabama players, because that's what we get with all these disciples, and what Bill Belichick loves to do is draft Alabama players. There's value in selecting guys that come from good programs with an elite coach like Nick Saban, who has developed high character guys that are going to show up and work. Now, John Metchie, to me, I didn't have him as one of my highest receivers. I thought that George Pickens and Christian Watson, who ended up, I think, getting selected before him, were better options. But he's still a good, strong receiver. Recovering from the injury that he suffered at the end of the season is going to be priority one, and making sure that he's back at full strength, because dealing with the injury that he dealt with obviously takes some time to get back to that full speed. But he's a good possession receiver. He's an underrated athlete. I don't think we should expect him to be a 1,500-yard receiver, but he could provide nice value as an eventual wide receiver two or wide receiver three once they build out the rest of this receiver group.
It feels like a safety blanket for Davis Mills, your young quarterback, right, that you're trying to really help out as much as possible, right?
Yeah, you want to add, and that's why I like a lot of these picks and the approach for these picks that the Texans had. You've got a young quarterback, and you're trying to get as much out of him as possible. So what you do is you draft an offensive lineman early. You draft a receiver pretty early as well. You want to protect him. You want to give him options. And I think that safety blanket description is a really good way of describing him. And that's what he can be once he's back on the field and fully healthy.
From the projections that I saw, it sounds like Christian Harris, the next pick, was probably the biggest reach of the Texans' draft choices. What did you think about that?
Yeah, reach is frankly an understatement for me. I'm not a fan of Christian Harris. And the past couple guys, these linebackers from Alabama have been a bit underwhelming, because they're really highly rated recruits. And at the beginning of the cycle, we're always going to hype up the Alabama defenders. There's more value in the defensive linemen than there are in these linebackers. And the problems that we saw with Dylan Moses, similar to the issues that we see with Christian Harris. Christian Harris, good athlete, or decent athlete for a linebacker, moves well, but I just don't see that processing ability. I don't see that quick trigger, that, the ability to understand everything that's going on in front of him at a quick pace and then attack the football, know where he needs to go. He always feels like a second behind. And that's something that if you don't have that as a linebacker, it really doesn't click after a period of time. Like if you have the athleticism and you can move, sometimes these guys just don't catch up to that. And you would hope that he can figure out and process quicker. but more often than not, it usually doesn't work out. It's kind of like what we see with quarterbacks where, yes, you can get smarter. Yes, you can improve your knowledge of the game. And yes, you can slow down the speed of the game around you. But if you just don't have that instinct and it shows up on tape, it's not going to show up 3 to 4 years into their career. And that's what worries me a little bit about Christian Harris.
One of the things that we said on the podcast is Levy and Caserio seem to be pretty connected on a lot of this stuff. And Levy very much involved from what we can tell. And Levy knows defense. And there was a big bro hug after that pick between Caserio and Levy Smith. So take it for what it's worth, Joe. But I'll point that out with that choice. Right. He was probably the least popular by draft experts of the picks. The most popular, Dameon Pierce. What did you think of that?
Yeah, Dameon Pierce is a really underrated running back in this class. He is a tough dude. There's that clip of him losing his helmet and then still charging ahead to try and pick up more yards after he lost his helmet. Now, you legally can't do that, and there was a whistle blown for that, but still, you're getting a really tough kid who provides value as a blocker. He provides value as a receiver, and all the things that he can do that versatility is going to be an asset for this Texans running back room. I love the pick. I know that there are some shuffling that needs to go down with that Texans running back room with all the different guys that they've brought in over the past couple of years. I know that it's thinned out a little bit since last season, but I think Dameon Pierce, you give him a little bit of time, maybe a year or so, and he could really carve out a nice role on this team.
Yeah, that's somebody that they really could use a hit there, because the running back core has been pretty pathetic over the last few years. The next three picks, instead of asking you about them individually, to me, there's nothing tremendously exciting about them. Thomas Booker, Tegan Kidariano, I hope I got his name right, and Austin Deculus. Are any of those guys that we should be excited about, or what did you think of those three?
Yeah, I actually love Thomas Booker. I think he is potentially a sleeper in this class as a defensive lineman coming out of Stanford. I mean, he's got good size. He's got underrated athleticism. I think if you can tap into that, he could end up becoming a high quality starter for this Texans defensive line. That out of the three that you just mentioned, that Thomas Booker pick, I think was very, very underrated. And I think more people should be talking about the other two guys, though. They're decent picks, probably more for depth, but I'm more excited about that Booker selection out of anything.
Tegan kind of made me laugh because the Texans have made it now a yearly thing with the tight end. This is 5 and 5 years for them.
Yeah, you never know what you get out of a guy like that. But it's I totally understand that. Just keep adding more and more tight ends, and maybe one of them sticks and does something.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that. But I mean, actually, last year we thought Brevin Jordan showed some flashes when he got his chance. About several games into the season, they really got his feet wet. Was there anything you gleaned from Caserio's philosophy after watching him in this draft? And now we've got a couple of drafts. I mean, last year didn't get a whole lot of picks. This year you saw him with more picks. The big thing for this draft for a lot of us was SEC, SEC, SEC. I mean, it was just, they kept coming at us.
Yeah, the one thing I feel like we take away from how Caserio is building this roster, it feels like his approach is that he wants to get good football players. He wants to get guys that he can have building blocks at each position group. And like last year, them drafting Davis Mills and Nico Collins, like those are high upside players. Same thing with Brevin Jordan. Those are all high upside players. Those are guys that maybe they don't hit right now, but you give them a little bit of time and they can turn into something. That was what was talked about with all those guys. And I think you're getting a little bit of that with this class as well, particularly with Derek Stingley and Dameon Pierce and Thomas Booker. There's a lot of trying to tap into that potential, which is a little bit different than what we get with Belichick, but it's trying to find good football players with high upside wherever you can find them throughout this draft. And they're on the right track. I know they didn't have a lot of picks last year. This year makes it a lot better. If Davis Mills hits, this team is on a nice track, building at key position groups that need depth, need young players to fill those groups out.
Was there a player that you just dumbfounded that the Texans didn't grab at some point, besides the guys we talked about off the top right. that you really liked?
Well, I was gonna immediately push to them not selecting Kyle Hamilton. I wasn't dumbfounded, more so disappointed. You mentioned how they traded out of that second pick that they had in the first round, and to not take a flyer on Kyle Hamilton, I think was a little bit odd. And it seems like the approach was, if we're going to go secondary early, we can't double dip at secondary. We want to draft an offensive lineman. That worked out for them. I think that passing up on Kyle Hamilton, a lot of teams are going to be regretting not taking that chance, not taking that shot to select Kyle Hamilton where he was. I mean, separate from that though, I mean, they got good value with most of their picks. I thought that, and I did check that they did pass on Jaquan Brisker. I probably would have gone Brisker over Jalen Petrie, but that's still not a bad pick. Additionally, John Metchie, who I talked about, I think is a decent selection, but to pass up on George Pickens, who I think is a lot more upside, has a lot more potential, very, very explosive, has some attitude issues. I think passing up on him and going for John Metchie, that was one of those picks where I was kind of questioning to myself, okay, why would you go with Metchie when you had someone as talented as Pickens on the board?
How do you compare their draft to the other teams in the AFC South? How did you like their draft compared to, say, the Colts or the Jags or the Titans?
I think comparably, they probably had the best draft off the top of my head amongst the rest of the AFC South teams, because the Jaguars draft approach, I don't really fully understand what they're going for. I didn't like the Trayvon Walker first overall pick. I thought that should have been Aiden Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau. I also was hearing that apparently they might try to use him as a stand-up rusher, and Trayvon Walker is not a stand-up rusher. He is a big dude, and I don't think that he is going to be utilized properly by the Jaguars defense. I'm really, really worried about that. And it was a very heavy defensive approach, not much of an effort to protect and provide Trevor Lawrence with a whole lot. So that was a big drawback for me with the Jaguars. The Titans trading away AJ Brown, obviously that benefits now the Texans, that you don't have to defend AJ Brown. Getting rid of Brown to bring in a younger version of him, as everyone was saying with Treylon Burks, is a head scratcher, because AJ Brown is pretty young. They just didn't want to have to pay him. But it's nice that they get Malik Willis. I wouldn't be shocked in 2 to 3 years if Malik Willis takes over that starting job, or we never see him take a single snap at quarterback for the Titans. But that's something to look out for Texans fans, is having to face Malik Willis, who has tremendous potential and upside as a quarterback. And then lastly, the Colts. I really was a bit underwhelmed by the Colts draft. They reached, frankly, on a lot of their picks. Like Alec Pierce, where they selected him, was really early. Jelani Woods, where they selected him in round 3, was really early. I'm not a fan of Bernard Raymond as a prospect because he's older. I just didn't really get that for me. And then the other thing, too, they drafted Andrew Ogletree, a Youngstown State tight end. And I'm an FCS guy. I love FCS prospects. But like I had no idea that he was even a draftable prospect. I didn't have any notes on him because he probably shouldn't have been a draftable prospect. He's big, he's slow, and he can't move very well. So a lot of those other drafts, there's positives for some of these teams, a lot of negatives. I'm more of a fan of what the Texans did because they attacked the needs that they needed to address.
Yeah, we're not going to complain that the other teams are stumbling. Did you have a favorite draft among the other, I guess all 32? Did you have a favorite draft among the 32 teams?
Yeah, my favorite group, the Ravens are up there. But what the Kansas City Chiefs did has to be acknowledged. They are playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. It felt like there were a lot of picks throughout this draft that teams were overthinking things. They were trying to play upside, or they were passing on certain guys that shouldn't have been passed on. And the Chiefs just kind of sat where they were for most of this draft and allowed the right players to fall into their lap. They get George Karlaftis, they get Trent McDuffie early on in the first round, who fits, they both fit major needs at corner, at edge rusher. Sky Moore, the Western Michigan receiver, is exactly what they look for in receivers. And to draft him in round two is tremendous value for him. He's fast. He's small. He's going to be a deep threat. They just lost Tyreek Hill. He's not going to be Tyreek Hill, but he's that type of a receiver that you can use him as a deep threat in this receiver group. But the other ones that really were just so surprising to me, Leo Chenal falling as far as he did, the Wisconsin linebacker, who is a freakish athlete and needs to get more recognition for how much of a good athlete he is. Putting him into a linebacker group that already has Willie Gay and Nick Bolton, a lot of speed and quickness in that group, that is a scary, scary linebacker group that they now have. Not to mention that they also were able to get Joshua Williams from Fayetteville State, who, tall, long corner, really, really good athlete, is going to lock guys down in a lot of these games. And then the last one, Darian Kennard, was somebody who people said was a first-round pick, and here he is falling all the way in the I think it was the fifth round that he fell as far as he did, Darian Kennard, the tackle from Kentucky. So kind of like last year, they allow people to fall into their lap, and they're going to be really high-quality starters. All of those guys, I think, have the potential to be high-quality starters.
And the Chiefs also just acquired Lonnie Johnson from the Houston Texans, who, as you might remember, Joe, just a couple of years ago, GM Bill O'Brien picked him in the second round, and he is already a casualty of Caserio, and they got a seventh round pick for him, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, Lonnie Johnson, probably didn't play up to the potential that Texans fans were hoping for, but that Chiefs defense has been so effectively reworked. You have a lot of teams that their approach to fixing rosters this offseason was trading picks, players, whatever they could to add players, especially in their division. And the Chiefs decided to say, you know what, we're going to part ways. We're going to go cheap because we have a big quarterback contract on the books and some other big contracts that are affecting their salary cap. And not only are they going young, but they're getting really effective young players that are going to continue to step in and start. And Spagnuolo and Andy Reid are going to find ways to activate these players like we saw they did last year.
And they also got Justin Reid off the free agent wire from the Texans as well, who was a third round pick a few years ago.
Kansas City Texans over here.
Yeah, we'll see what they do with all this. It'd be interesting to see if those guys turn a corner after. I mean, Reid is mostly injuries, but if Lonnie Johnson can turn a corner or what's going to happen there. Before I let you go, remind people where they can find you and how they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at Joe DeLeon on Twitter. Be sure to check out our show, the NFL Prospects Pod, at NFL Prospects Pod on Twitter. And then our YouTube channel, which features the NFL Prospects Pod and the FCS Football Pod and some just general college football discussion, Hack City on YouTube. Be sure to check that out and hit subscribe.
We are hoping that you're wrong about Kyle Hamilton. we're gonna dream big things for Kenyon Green, and God knows they could use some offensive line help. So thanks so much for doing this, Joe. Always fun to catch up with you.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Don't forget to follow Houston Sports Talk on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, the Google Podcast app, or the Stitcher app. You can support us by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes or by telling your friends about us. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.